The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this November 6th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. I hope you all had a good evening yesterday. I know the results are in terms of the election. If you're person won, congrats. If your person lost, I'm sorry. And so, look, not talking about that. Did talk about it yesterday. Will not talk about it today. It is a new day. It is Wednesday, and it's also opening day for Auburn men's basketball as they get started tonight inside of Neville Arena against Vermont, a sneaky good Vermont team that I think Auburn is going to have to play well against if they want to walk out of there with a win. And so, lots to get to in terms of Auburn basketball tonight. College football playoff things that we need to talk about, right? First rankings came out last night. Lots of confusion, as I predicted there would be. So we'll talk about the rankings versus the bracket, what the difference is, what we could see moving forward, all of that type of stuff. Plus, we got some interesting quotes from Hugh Freeze earlier today in the SEC weekly teleconference, since he didn't have his normal weekly press conference with the bye week, but he did speak in the teleconference, and some very, very intriguing quotes that we're going to get to here today as well. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be joining the show coming up in about 30 minutes from Dogs 247. We'll get updates on Georgia football and basketball as the Dogs are underway on the hardwood, and Georgia was ranked high in the initial college football playoff rankings. No double D today, no Daryl Dapperich. He is out celebrating his 30-year anniversary with his wife. So very, very good reason not to join us on the radio. He will pick back up next week. So it's you and me. And thankfully, this guy decided to come in. We were able to snag him away for a little bit. Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, joining us in the studio as well. What's up, my man? How are you?
What's up? Doing well. Glad that we were able to continue the conversation that we kind of built off of yesterday with a lot of the conversation with the college football playoff.
Yep.
Now that we have seen that format, and then again, I'm sure that we'll be able to go over some quotes and some statistics from Auburn football that have gone out the world wide web that I'm sure that nobody will get fired up or have any sort of opinion about. So I fully expect there to be zero phone calls today at 334-321-1390, because really there's not really anything interesting going on. I'm sure nobody cares anything about Auburn basketball that's going on. So I guess you brought me in today just to fill a little bit of dead time, because I don't think there's anything to talk about today.
Yeah, I think we're going to struggle to fill 2 hours of a radio show today on Sports Talk Radio. As he said, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. You could call in outside of the time we're with Jordan Hill. He'll join us in about 30 minutes or so up until then, and then all after that, you can be a part of it, 334-321-1390. You can also shoot me a text in the on-the-line text box at 334-784-1067. And we're going to start with college football playoffs coming up in just a second, but man, I'm excited for basketball season.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so ready. And it's already been started, right? Monday had a lot of games. Last night had a couple of games. I checked out a couple of scores. Didn't watch a whole lot of it last night. Was helping with our election coverage over on News Talk WANI 98.7, which went really, really well. Got to cover a lot of the local elections. I was over at the Benny Atkins Center in Opelika reporting results, talking with Sheriff Jay Jones, Probate Judge Bill English, a lot of great people over there. So that's what what I was doing yesterday. And now, college basketball in full swing. Auburn gets started tonight. A lot of big other teams get started tonight as well. Auburn is playing a Vermont team that is very, very talented, will not lay over easily. And I don't want to say Auburn's using this as a preparation game, but man, it's hard not to look at what's coming up this weekend when Auburn travels to Houston to take on the Cougars inside the Toyota Center, which is where the Houston Rockets play. But Auburn cannot look ahead to Saturday. They got to take care of Vermont tonight inside the Neville Arena.
They definitely do. You want to talk about the slate today? 9 NBA games, 3 college football games, and I believe I just counted 37 college basketball games tonight. So you can sit on the couch and find just about anything that you want. But you talk about that Vermont team that, again, I believe it's won their conference 8 years in a row. So it's definitely not some, you know, game where you're a 35, 40-point favorite as you make your way into Neville Arena. Neville Arena will obviously play a very big factor. Did you see the video that Auburn basketball and Bruce Pearl posted with him pretending to sleep and firing everybody up?
Wake up!
Yeah, the perfect way of getting everything going. The jungle's going to be absolutely electric. I'm excited to see a bunch of the new guys, the new faces come in, see the contribution that they're able to make, as well as the guys that are returning. Obviously, Janai Broome, Denver Jones, Chad Baker kind of lead that top punch for everybody. You really expect them to take that big jump. Janai, I mean, has the ability to play and be the best center in the league this year.
Or the country.
Or the entire country. And so, again, I mean, step one tonight, you're expecting them to come out. I'd love to see clean basketball. That's the biggest thing. Not necessarily, I mean, you don't have to put up 100 against them, but if you can play solid defense, which is the brand of basketball that Auburn loves to be able to do, and keep the ball away from the other team. Don't turn the ball over. I think you'll be excited and happy with the result.
I know everybody has continued to talk about, and look, to Auburn's credit, they've shoved it down everybody's throat. They want you to know that they're playing a difficult non-conference schedule, and they will be playing a difficult one. Again, it starts this Saturday, game two of the season, when you play Houston in the Toyota Center. But if there is a drawback to playing this tough of a non-conference schedule, and I look at other teams around the country that don't play anything near it, you play a couple of games, you'll play in one of those feast week tournaments, but then you play all your, I don't know, your mains and your Miami of Ohio's and your Tennessee Techs and all those types of programs, right? If there is a drawback to what Auburn is doing in the non-conference schedule, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to figure out what rotations work best, because in a lot of these games, you're fighting for a win. Yeah. Whereas in those games against lesser opponents, you're up by 20 or 30 throughout most of the game, especially in the second half. And then with a team that's as deep as Auburn is, you have the ability to say, all right, let's try this five. And I mean, just close your eyes and point and just see how it goes, see how it works and see what comes from it. That's what's great about non-conference play. Auburn in this non-conference slate, though, they're going to be fighting for wins almost every night.
They will. As you mentioned, it'll be hard to get everybody. You don't want to say hard to gel, but it'll make it to where, again, you're not going to see success every single time that you step on the floor with your five guys, making it to where you don't just see success. You're not able to continue to roll against every single team that you're playing. It might be one guy here that's having to step up, or one guy here, and you feel like you're having to fix and plug so many different possible holes in your offense or defense to face one or two guys on the opposing team and making it a little bit more difficult. That being said, Auburn is so deep that you feel like, regardless of the five that they throw out there, they're going to be able to be in sync, especially, again, on the defensive side of the basketball.
And even though you're playing Houston and Duke and Purdue and all of these big-name teams, I still hope that Bruce Pearl and this staff try to do different things and adjustments and experiment a little bit, because you can afford to lose those games. As much as fans don't want to, right? As much as Auburn doesn't want to, like, yeah, it's a huge deal to go and beat Houston on Saturday, or go into Cameron Indoor and get that win, or beat Purdue in Birmingham, or is this year in Birmingham and next year in Indy, or is it reversed?
Yes.
Okay. Either way, it's important and it's fun to get those wins, but you can't be so stressed and worried about just the win that you don't get better, right? That's what people forget about. Non-conference play is about getting better. Yes, it's about building wins and getting early wins, and I think it's about getting better and building your tournament resume. I've always said non-conference play in college basketball, that's what it's about. And you know what? If you go and get beat by Purdue by 20, but you feel that you got better and you played different guys at different spots at different times, I'm okay with that. Not 5, 6, 7 times, but once or twice a non-conference play, yeah, that's totally okay with me. Couple close losses, couple close wins, and sure, a blowout loss or two here. As long as you get better, I'm okay.
You hate to say, and I'm not a fan of the saying where, you know, it's good to go ahead and get the loss out of the way so
that
way
stupid,
the undefeated record is gone. But, I mean, honestly, in a non-conference schedule like this, again, it's not like it's App State where you're frustrated and you're trying to cope with it. Like, okay, well, I guess it was better that we went ahead and got beat.
Right.
But if you go out and you lose to Houston in Houston by 7 points where it's a 2-point game down the stretch and all of a sudden you miss a shot and they have to shoot 3 free throws to end the game, mm-hmm. that's a little bit of a different story. That's something almost like the Baylor game last year where you went out and you got beat, but you felt good about it. You didn't feel like you beat yourself. And again, on the road, I think it was you put up 81 points or something like that, to where if you didn't base everything off of the final score, you weren't results oriented. Mm-hmm. You were results oriented. You weren't necessarily facing everything off of the final score. Then I think you'll be really happy with where you're at. Again, if you go back to what you're talking about in the non-conference schedule, if you find a way to, you win a couple close ones, you lose a couple close ones, again, we're going to have to sit here and calm everybody down if Auburn's sitting at 3-2 or 3-3 through 6 games, having to, hey, everything's going to be okay. But again, tonight's kind of step one to figuring everything out, and you hope that they're able to do so against a really, really good Vermont team.
Yeah, we have people texting in already that Vermont is no pushover. They're no slouch. They are 1-0 so far this season. They beat UAB in their season opener, 67-62. This text message in our on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067, says, take Vermont plus the points. They said 18. ESPN's got it down to 16.5 right now for Auburn favored against Vermont. We got people saying, take Vermont because they may be able to hang with Auburn tonight.
They might be able to, and it might be a good thing that they do, rather than it just being a 35-40-point victory for Auburn to where it's like, okay, it's basically just a simulated scrimmage where you're playing 40 total minutes, mm-hmm. making it to where, hey, there's zero time to quote-unquote knock any rust off. You have to play the best of your ability the entire time you're out on the floor, and again, that goes back to the depth that Auburn has where you can give guys early in the season 3 minutes here, 4 minutes here, where it's not like you're having to sit there and play them 8 or 9 minutes at a time and either the offensive side or the defensive side kind of lacks off. Play your 3 minutes as hard as you can, go sit on the bench for 2 or 3 minutes, collect yourself, regain that air, and then get back on the floor and play 100% again.
And it's the season opener, and you always think, okay, if you're not playing a big name, right, if it's not Baylor Gonzaga, then there's no way you can lose, right? You can't lose a season opener.
Ain't no way.
Ain't no way you could lose a season opener in college basketball, they said in Aggieland in Columbia, South Carolina, because those two teams lost on opening night and lost to teams that were lesser than them but just beat them. And I know this is a conversation that T-Bone and I have had, you and I have had, a lot of top conversation on this particular program, but you're going to see it this year, and you've seen it through the first 2 days, right? We talk about this in college football all the time because of the Vanderbilts of the world and now the, you know, the Boise States of the world, and I think even on a bigger scale in college basketball where, man, there's going to be some really good mid-major teams that you do not want to mess with in the regular season or when March Madness rolls around. You're going to see transfer portal NIL impact college basketball maybe more than any other sport.
I was going to say the exact same thing to where, yeah, just because there's so many guys that are so good. In basketball, you can be – you don't want it to be, but it can be such an individualistic sport.
It can be a one-man show.
Where it is ISO ball, and one guy goes off for 35, 40 points here. And, I mean, you've seen a couple of the March Madness games to where there's one guy that just goes out and makes plays and is able to beat a top-level team. And you're going to see more and more of that in the regular season. It's going to be so difficult to have a 0 or a 1 in your record when you enter conference play. And then, I mean, especially in the SEC, I mean, Bruce Pearl talked about it on Saturday to where Auburn feels like they're one of the top three or four teams in the conference right now. But if you slip up three or four games, you could find yourself at 10th finishing in the SEC standings.
That's crazy. And it's true, which is why it's important to get off to a hot start in the SEC. Just a few games around the Southeastern Conference tonight. Auburn, of course, taking on Vermont. That game is tonight at Neville Arena. Tip-off is set for 7 p.m. Television-wise, it's on ESPN+, SEC Network+. You got to stream it somewhere, so you may as well tune in to Andy and the guys on the Auburn Sports Network. You can catch that in every Auburn men's basketball broadcast here locally or wherever you are. Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. Every single men's basketball broadcast is on Wings 94.3. And starting tonight, Auburn and Vermont. A couple of other games, Arkansas, the new-look Arkansas with John Calipari at the helm, a top 20 team. Remember, Auburn's number 11 in the country preseason, which take preseason rankings for what it is. But Arkansas, top 20. They host Lipscomb in Fayetteville, and LSU hosting UL Monroe. Excited to see. I'll have to keep up with that Arkansas game and see so many transfers on that team. A lot of old Kentucky names on there. A lot of big names from outside as well. Arkansas, I don't know if people are giving them a lot of love because they're kind of in see-it-to-believe-it mode for them. But, man, they're loaded with talent.
They definitely are. I mean, you feel like Coach Cal, I mean, he's done such a good job at Kentucky, and now you work your way with Arkansas, who, I mean, you don't want to get too far into it, but their NIL way works through, like, the state. And so,
yeah,
it's by no means is it unlimited, but you want to find a way to get big names. You go play under Coach Cal at Arkansas, you feel like you got just about everything that you can handle there.
334-321-1390. We're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you here on the show. We'll have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 coming up at 2:30, and then wide open the rest of the way. We're just now getting started on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, and want to talk about the college football playoff rankings that came out last night, the first in the expanded playoff era. And as we predicted, there was confusion. A lot of it. There was several questions of why is my team ranked here, but they're in the bracket here? Why are they lower than they were in the rankings? What is happening? I don't know. Well, they tried to tell you. We tried to tell you, and we said it would still happen. And to their credit, it is confusing. It is. It is confusing when you look at it. We will all become accustomed to it as we go, right? But I'll be honest, I'm still trying to learn and figure it all out, as we all are, right? And the fact that you have a 1 through 25 ranking, but that will not be mirrored to what the bracket looks like. And I wish they could have the self-control to not even put out the bracket, but I mean, we could do it ourselves, so I guess it really doesn't matter, but the fact that ESPN, after their rankings, they just made that a super small screen and then they blow up the bracket and make it look massive. It's like, okay, then why even release a rankings? Just release the bracket. Release the bracket, tell us who the first two teams out were, and let's move on. Because that would at least be like, oh, okay, these teams are here, they're ranked here. All right, cool, got it. This is where we stand.
I didn't hate the fact that the official bracket that they posted and you'll see everywhere doesn't have it, but on the initial one that they released, it has their overall rankings next to their rankings in the bracket, which, again, if you're just looking at it, it creates a little bit of confusion, but it at least you understand a little bit more. Like, looking at it right here, BYU is the 9th ranked team in the country, but as of right now, they're expected to win the Big 12, so they have a 4 and a 9 by their name. So you at least grasp a little bit of it, but at the same time, it makes it to where, okay, well then why are they the ninth team and not the fourth, or why are they the fourth and not the ninth? And mm-hmm. you throw up so many different comparisons and questions. The biggest thing, again, we talked about it yesterday, that I was looking forward to and wanted to see was where would Boise State land? And they landed in that 12th spot. So you almost get that understanding that, I mean, even if Boise State, I mean, they could have a very, very solid record with their one loss being a 3-point loss in Eugene, Oregon on the week two of the season, and possibly a 2-loss team in the Power Four would then host Boise State. Again, it throws up a little bit of of confusion with and that, and it kind of shows where they're thinking about the Group of Five team being just about every single year, unless, again, something crazy happens.
Yeah, here is 1 through 12, and then I'll give you the three teams after that as well. This is the ranking, okay? This is the college football playoff ranking. This is the number that you're going to see next to their name on TV, next to their name in an article, or hear us when we reference them on the radio, okay? Number 1 is Oregon. No shocker there. Number 2 is Ohio State. That is a little surprising to me. Georgia 3, Miami 4, Texas at 5, Penn State 6, Tennessee at 7, Indiana at 8, BYU at 9, Notre Dame 10, Alabama 11, Boise State 12. All right, so there's your top 12. And then the next three, SMU, Texas A&M, and LSU. So with that, right, you saw those teams get put into this bracket. But because of BYU, they are the ones currently that are throwing everything off here in terms of the rankings not being mirrored on the bracket. Because as you said, Christian, the number 9 team in the country right now comes in at 4 in the bracket. Because if you were to end the season right now, they would be your Big 12 champs, which then bumps everybody else down, starting with Ohio State, right? You move Georgia up as SEC champs, you move Miami up as ACC champs, and then you fill in everybody else, starting with Ohio State, and then Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Indiana, yada, yada, yada. So you have matchups like Indiana going to Knoxville and things like that. And teams on the outside looking in, an 8-1 SMU team out of the ACC, only the second team ranked in the top 15 out of the ACC, right? A conference that's looking for two bids and are really struggling because of teams like Alabama who have found themselves inside the top 12, which is just so surprising to me. I just can't believe it.
Yeah, it was something that you would have never, ever predicted and thrown any sort of any wagers on, because you never don't believe what I just saw.
Ain't no way they put Alabama in the playoffs.
And I want to know how long until, it might not be this year, but how long until chaos ensues, which it obviously will, that the Big 12 winner, even say that it is this year, say BYU finishes with 2 or 3 losses, maybe not this year, but a team like that, or the ACC has a down year, and their top team finishes with 3 losses, but their conference champion will get in at 10-3, yet there could be a Texas team in the ACC that goes 11-1 but doesn't play for the SEC championship or something like that, and they then have to play in round 1 while a team that got 3 losses but still won their conference gets rewarded with a bye.
Oh, it's going to happen. I mean, it's going to happen very, very soon. And that's just, look, fans are going to be mad about it and they'll be like, oh, we deserve to be there. Well, that's not how the rules are written for the new playoff format. And that cannot be argued. That's one thing I think we have to settle here is those 4 teams, right? You have the Power 4 and the Group of 5. Those conference champions are in, okay? And I guess the highest-ranked Group of 5 champion right there, whatever. But those 4 conference champs out of the Power 4, they're going to make it. And you can't argue the fact that the rule says they will get that bye. What you can then argue is your ranking after that and where you're placed, whether you deserve to be hosting or going on the road somewhere.
One thing that we do know that is absolutely for certain is when you look at this bracket, nothing will change. So these are already cemented. Indiana's going to Knoxville. Nothing's going to change on this bracket, right?
No, yeah.
This is going to be the final thing to look at, so there's no need in following anything else for the rest of the season.
Right, the next 4 weeks aren't going to just turn this upside down at all whatsoever, which makes it exciting and why the first rankings are fun. We have more to talk about with those, and we'll get to that later. But Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 joins us next. We'll talk Georgia football and Georgia basketball coming up.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and we get to the phone lines because we welcome in this guy who joins us every Wednesday at 2:30. It's Jordan Hill from Dogs 247 covering all things Georgia athletics. And, man, I know it's a busy time in Athens with the football team rocking and rolling. We'll get to the playoff scenarios and things coming up in just a second. And basketball season is underway, Jordan.
Yeah, busy time of year, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, Jacob. It was pretty interesting to turn around and come back from Jacksonville Sunday and then have the season opening basketball game on Monday. But busy time of year for sure, but definitely a fun time of year and plenty to talk about for sure.
Well, we'll start on the football side of things as Georgia sits 7-1 overall. We've talked about a lot of the wins that they've had this year. Of course, just the one loss against Alabama, which seems like it was forever ago now with how fast college football season has been moving through. And they hit the field once again this past weekend in the neutral site game that they play against Florida every year. And it's crazy how good they are out in Las Vegas, isn't it, Jordan? Just how close they hit this thing just about every single time. Georgia was flirting with about a 2-touchdown favorite, and sure enough, they win by 14, 34-20.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, you know, when you look at the final score, you go, okay, you know, that would be probably about in line with what most folks expected, but the game definitely didn't go the way Georgia fans had in mind. Carson Beck, 3 interceptions, second straight game that he's had 3 interceptions. ESPN had a stat after the fact. Carson is the first SEC quarterback in 20 years to have consecutive games with at least 3 interceptions and win both of those games. So that was not the kind of stat that Carson wanted. He really, first 2 interceptions definitely on Carson. The third one he got hit as he was throwing, so I kind of don't put quite as much of that on him. And the offense had to go without Trevor Etienne for the majority of this game. He only played the first 2 quarters. Suffered a rib injury. I do think he'll be able to go this week at Ole Miss. But, you know, credit to Carson. He overcame that rough start, played a lot better in the second half. You know, Florida was sort of floundering, trying to get things going with Aiden Warner, the backup quarterback, because DJ Lagway got hurt in the second quarter. It was a situation where Georgia was very much pushed by this Florida team. And it took 4 quarters to get it done. Credit to Georgia. It had some big drives late in this game. C.J. Allen makes a very impressive leap to intercept a pass that helps give Georgia a short field, and they score another touchdown to wind up going up by 2 touchdowns. So they had to earn it for sure, but Georgia gets the job done and you know, now is sitting pretty, getting ready for another big road game, this one in Oxford.
Were you impressed with Georgia's response coming out of the half, down 13-6 after Florida? People thought, oh, they're just going to knee it out, right? They'll go to the locker room happy, and they were like, nope, we'll go down and try to get some points, and that's exactly what they did. And Georgia found themselves in a spot that they don't normally find down at the half. Were you impressed with their response in the second half, Jordan?
Absolutely, and it's something we've talked about. Even in some of the games where they have not looked the sharpest, I think about Kentucky, I think about the start of the second half against Texas, where once it kind of gets tight and you kind of go, oh, okay, this team Georgia's playing, they've got their opportunity, that when Georgia's gotten the ball, more times than not, they've answered and they've responded with points. They did that in that third quarter, a huge drive that ended with Nate Frazier's touchdown run. This is just a team that, for its faults and for the things that has to play better at, it has done a very good job of responding when the Bulldogs' backs are against the wall. And I know it drives Georgia fans crazy. Jacob, we got a whole message board full of posts that
I can only imagine that
would validate that. But there is some, you know, there is value in that, that this team does not panic when things don't look good or if it looks like the opponent sees the momentum. Happen again Saturday. And again, kind of going back to the Carson Beck of it all, you know, as much as he struggled and as bad as some of his picks were on Saturday, he keeps it cool, calm, and collected when he has to make plays. And I do think that he deserves credit for that.
What does Kirby Smart say? And I know the fans are upset about it, but with Carson Beck, I mean, you would have to think that you can't continue if you're Georgia to have your starting quarterback go game after game after game where struggling to keep it to his own team, right, and throwing interceptions. And sure, they're good enough to overcome it against Florida, but that's got to be a concern moving forward, which is something you and I have talked about for several weeks now.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I'd say Kirby hasn't sugarcoated it. I mean, he has said that some of the mistakes that Carson has made have been critical. And but at the same time, he's really stood behind Carson. I think he understands, especially when he speaks to media members, that, you know, he needs to back his quarterback and he's not going to say anything to upset him. But no, I mean, I look at this Ole Miss game and say that, I mean, Carson has to bring his A game, not only because it's a good Ole Miss team, but playing them on the road. Carson at this point has played in 7 true road games going back to last year, and he's got 9 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, and that's just not going to cut it. And I wrote about this on Sunday after the Florida game. You know, he deserved credit when we talked to him after the game. I mean, he owned it. So, you know, I got to play better. You know, you're going to see improvement. And I do think that, you know, that was commendable. But at the same time, Georgia's not going to win a national title if he continues to play this way. And I think that Carson understands that. And this is a chance on Saturday against what I think is an improved Ole Miss defense to go out there and show that he can get over these early mistakes and put himself in position to get another big win and to show that you know, he is Georgia's best option when it comes to playing quarterback.
Georgia beats Florida 34-20 this past weekend. They look ahead to this coming Saturday. You mentioned it already. Ole Miss is where Georgia will go. They'll head to Oxford for their first road game since that Texas game. And I agree, that's an Ole Miss team I think defensively has improved. But, Jordan, they've started really flexing their offensive muscles, just putting up 50-point performances all over the place. What's Georgia's game plan, or maybe what should be their game plan going into this game Saturday afternoon?
I think it starts with the defensive front. I think they have to understand that they have got to get after Jackson Dart. And like you said, Jacob, he's coming off a great game, a big-time performance at Arkansas. You know, there were some folks that kind of circled that game and said, hey, you know, maybe this could be an upset for Arkansas. And Ole Miss basically just named its number and had a lot of success. And, you know, I think about the loss to LSU that Ole Miss had, and a big key with that was they were able to get Jackson Dart on the ground over and over and over. Just had an outstanding game for that defensive front. So to me, that's the key. And, you know, I thought Georgia was really quiet as far as pass rush in that Florida game. Now, I think once DJ Lagway left, they kind of went a little bit more conservative. They didn't really push the issue. But they need to play. You know, they're probably not going to get the production they had in that Texas game where it was like 10 tackles for loss, 7 sacks. But you have got to be very consistent. You got to let guys like Michael Williams get loose and get after Jackson Dart, because given how good Jackson Dart is and given his receivers, if you give him a lot of time to work, you are going to regret it.
Well, last night, the initial college football playoff rankings came out for the expanded 12-team college football playoff. And while there's been some confusion with the rankings and the bracket, right, Georgia comes in at number 3, 7-1 overall. Did you have them at that spot, Jordan? Was that too high, too low? What'd you think about the rankings last night?
I kind of thought Georgia would be number 2 in front of Ohio State. I guess I can see how the Buckeyes got the nod, but I think, you know, if you're in that top, you know, four range, you know, right now, you're feeling pretty good. And that's something Kirby was asked before the rankings came out last night, basically, if he had any interest in what it would be. And he basically said that, you know, acknowledged it's going to change a lot. You know, it's going to shift. And, you know, you think about the years we can go back and look at who was the number one team in the very first ranking of that season, and how rarely that team winds up actually making the playoff. Now, again, that was a 4-team. I'm sure you'll see less of that with 12 teams making it in. But, no, I think 2-3, you know, I'm not too concerned as far as Georgia falling where it did. And the thing that will help Georgia is they've still got two really marquee games left on the regular season schedule at Ole Miss this weekend, and then play in Tennessee the following week. They'll have a chance to bolster that resume, and I think people are going to take note of that as long as they go and take care of business.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is as much as they control their own destiny in a good way, right, they also have all the power in their hands to possibly end their college football playoff implications, or I guess end their college football playoff chances, because as great as it is to play a top 20 Ole Miss team and a top 10 Tennessee team, the Dogs can't afford to lose those games.
No, not at all, and it's one of these situations that you look at, you know, the way that the SEC schedule has fallen and which teams have kind of separated themselves. You know, there's not the guarantee that some of these teams are going to take each other out. Now, there are some, like Texas A&M, you know, that'll be a big game. But Georgia definitely can't afford to lose and feel secure in making the playoff. Now, I think their schedule will certainly help that, but you want to be in a situation where you control your own destiny. You don't want to go into a weekend saying, all right, we got to win this game and we got to be rooting for this team or that team. So, yeah, I mean, having to go to Ole Miss is not going to be easy. And then turn around the very next week and play in a pretty dangerous Tennessee team isn't easy either. So they got to bring it. And I think they realize that. And I think you'll see that on Saturday.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. He joins us every Wednesday at 2:30 here on ESPN 106.7, talking all things Georgia athletics, talking a lot of football here today. Do want to transition over to the hardwood, where Georgia basketball was a part of the many teams on Monday that got their season, underway. 1-0 overall now, Jordan, as Georgia gets it done in the season opener. Tennessee Tech 83-78, a little bit closer than Dogs fans maybe wanted it in that opener, huh?
Oh, 100%. I mean, they just could not stop Tennessee Tech. The Golden Eagles got hot from three. Georgia really wasn't ready for what at times was a five-guard lineup for Tennessee Tech. They went small. Georgia kind of had to react to it. But, you know, you had hoped for a better performance, winning by more than five, but there were some strong signs. Asa Newell has a double-double in his first game, 27 points. That ties Dominique Wilkins for the most from a Georgia freshman in his debut. So that is definitely notable. And then, you know, Dakota Lefeu, a guard they got from Mount St. Mary's, I thought he was by far Georgia's most productive guard in this game against Tennessee Tech. I believe he ended up with 18 points. So things to clean up. You know, I think the biggest weakness of this team at this point is how it defends around the arc. Really struggled in the exhibition against UCF. Stopping the three-point ball, and as I said, was an issue against Tennessee Tech. But they've got another game on Sunday. They're going to host Texas Southern before next week, that they go to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. So it'll be worthwhile for Georgia to make the most of this game on Sunday, take care of Texas Southern, and then get ready for the big rivalry game in Atlanta next week.
Yeah, teams like Georgia Tech, Marquette, St. John's, Notre Dame are on that non-conference schedule for Georgia basketball. But, hey, I think a win is a win in this year of college basketball with how good teams are going to be and how much better they're going to be across the board. We know Georgia's going to be able to score. Defense may be the question there in Athens. He writes for Dogs 247, Jordan Hill. He's with us every Wednesday here on ESPN during On the Line. Tell people where they can find you, my man, and what you got coming up.
Definitely. Dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at Dogs247. And, yeah, a lot of previews for this Ole Miss game. A lot of talk about how this game is going to play out. We'll have a preview podcast coming out on Friday. And again, get ready for a matchup number 3 team in the playoff, number 16 team in the playoff. I think we're going to be in for a good one in Vault Hemingway Stadium on Saturday.
Are you traveling to Oxford?
Oh, yeah.
Love it. Have you been there before?
Way back in 2016 when I was still in college, and Ole Miss beat Georgia like a drum. Chad Kelly had one of his bigger games. So we'll
Chad
see.
Kelly.
I'd be surprised if history repeated itself, but we'll see.
Well, hey, safe travels to Oxford, and we appreciate everything that you do for Dogs 247 because coming on and talking to us about that. And so always appreciative of your time, my man. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll have you on again next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Jacob.
That's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Check him out for anything you need in terms of the Georgia Bulldogs. They've got the Ole Miss Rebels this Saturday in football. A couple of non-conference games coming up before they get on Georgia Tech in non-conference play on the hardwood. We'll take our final break. Come back, wrap up hour number one. Phone lines are wide open the rest of the show. 334-321-1390. Christian Griffin back with me as we wrap up hour number one after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. Thanks to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. Always a good time talking with him, and he's always so gracious with his time, and he's been with me for quite some time now here on the show and talking all things Georgia football and now basketball. And I didn't want to ask this question because, Christian, you and I actually had this conversation a little bit yesterday before the playoff rankings came out, right, about elimination games in college football and what games are going to be truly win and you're staying alive. If you lose, you're out. But now that we've seen the rankings, right, as we have a couple of minutes to wrap up the hour, now that you've seen the rankings, is Georgia-Ole Miss an elimination game? Because yesterday we said it wasn't fair to ask that question because we just didn't know what the rankings were going to show, but the fact that Georgia's still a top three team in the country tells me maybe they could afford a loss here.
I think they definitely could. I think that it's, again, you hate the word elimination game, and I forgot, who was it yesterday that said that you kind of have to go away from that terminology?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a caller or a texter. I can't remember, but we did.
I thought
did.
It was an ESPN reporter lady.
Oh, it was Heather Dinich.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Heather.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was saying just because we've never experienced the 12-team playoff,
right,
that saying an elimination game almost feels a little bit inappropriate just from the standpoint of, again, we have no idea what it looks like. That being said, I think that Georgia can afford a loss, obviously, a lot more than Ole Miss can.
Sure.
But when you look at it, there's only three teams right now for the SEC. I say only, but three teams in the top 12 right now that are currently in the playoff format. Texas A&M is the second team out, LSU right behind them. So they have five teams in the first 15 of the rankings for the SEC. And so, I mean, by no means do you ever want to say that a three or possibly a four-loss team would get it. I don't think four ever would, but I mean, even a three-loss team, if your wins look good enough and your losses, as much as we hate to say a quality loss, as long as those losses look good enough, then it's hard to mark everybody out. But I guess officially answering your question, I feel like Georgia almost sits in the boat of Alabama, where regardless of their record, you feel like they're one of the best teams in college football. And I feel like Georgia, yeah, you could give them two or three. They would be one of the first three loss teams if it got to that point where they would be considered for that spot.
I think for Georgia, all you have to do is look at where Alabama came in the rankings last night. They're in the playoff. They're a top 12 team, and they're in the bracket. Like, as a two-loss team to a two-loss team that has two worse losses than any of Georgia's two losses are going to be, if they get to, right? Because it would be, you would think, either Ole Miss or Tennessee. I don't think Georgia's going to lose to Georgia Tech or whoever their other non-conference game is, their cupcake game. Like, a two-loss Georgia team who lost to Alabama and either Ole Miss or Tennessee, it's much more impressive to me than an Alabama team that lost to Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Like, that's a fact.
Well, that too, and then, I mean, looking at it, what is Alabama's best win of this season?
I mean, do they...
Would you say that it's now...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's Georgia.
Forgot about that one. Yeah, that's
outlier.
Yeah, but again, as much of an outlier as it is, I mean, the other one is South Carolina.
Which is a good win, but I don't think it's a playoff building. It's not a resume building win for the playoff. I don't think.
And that's what, yeah, otherwise it would be that, them or Missouri.
That's gross.
Which, I mean, those two right there, I mean, you almost compare those to what Georgia's two losses could be, and you'd almost feel better about Georgia.
And Georgia has better wins, and if they continue to win, they will have more better wins. What, I know that's weird to say it that way, but they'll have, yeah, more better wins than Alabama would. And so, yeah, for Georgia and Ole Miss this weekend, I mean, if you're Georgia, you don't want to lose, but you could probably afford it, especially with it being on the road and having the opportunity to get it back with a win over Tennessee in a couple of weeks.
Well, that too, and you're talking about possibly a second loss. It'll be interesting to see if Georgia's at that part and they make it to the SEC championship game and find a way to fall in Atlanta. You'll learn even more about the committee if they will punish a team for a conference loss rather than if they chose to not even play it.
Or recency bias, man. How much will that play a factor? That's what we get to learn over the next few weeks. But we got to get to break. Hour number one is in the book. Stick around. Hour number two coming up. We'll talk more college football, especially Auburn, with some interesting quotes from today, and college basketball as the Tigers get the season started.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goins.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast later on today. It's just today's show posted to our station website for you, just the audio up there. You can go and find that on our station website at ESPNAU.com. That's also where our SEC football challenge is. That continues on each and every week. So be sure that you are getting your picks in for that. We're running out of weeks for college football, which is upsetting. It's crazy how fast it's flown by. The fact that college basketball has started this week. So be sure you get your picks in. ESPNAU.com. That's the place to do it. Weekly prize winner and a grand prize winner at the end of the season. So be sure you get all that in and listen to the podcast at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, Christian and I talked a little bit about Auburn basketball. We're going to get to some more of that here in hour number two. Also talked about the college football playoff rankings that were released last night and talked to Jordan Hill of Dogs 247, getting updates from Georgia football as the number three team in the country now as they take on Ole Miss this weekend, and talked a little Georgia basketball with him as well. I know it's Wednesday, and it's normally Double D Wednesday, but Daryl is out this week. He will pick back up with us next week, which is why Christian Griffin, voice of Lee Scott, is in here. And we got a lot to get to in this second hour. So phone lines are open. Would love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. That's the phone line number. You can also shoot us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And I think it's appropriate to start the second hour with the couple of quotes that have started to float around the, as you called it, the interwebs, if you will. What'd you say?
I said there's more?
Yeah. I think there are a couple of more out there somewhere.
Dang it.
Yeah. Hugh Freeze did not have his normal weekly press conference with the Auburn media since it's the bye week, and, you know, that was convenient since Auburn lost again this weekend. But he did join the SEC teleconference because I don't think he has a choice on that, and joined the weekly SEC teleconference. That's on Wednesday, and a couple of quotes have been grabbed and shared and reshared and reshared and reshared and reshared on what some people call Twitter, others call X, some people just call it social media. And Christian, I think the one that everybody's gotten fired up about is something that people have been fired up about for quite some time, and it's the quarterback spot. It's the quarterback position for Auburn where people for weeks and weeks and going on months now have talked about, hey, are we going to do anything different at the quarterback spot? Is Auburn ever going to move on from the Peyton Thorne experiment that seems to have fallen flat on its face and failed? And that crowd has really, I think, grown in the past several weeks. And I think it was halted for a second when Auburn went on the road and beat Kentucky, where Auburn just flat out ran the ball and Peyton Thorne didn't have to do a whole lot, right? But then you bounce back and, you know, he misses a couple of big throws and everybody loses their minds again. I still don't think Saturday's loss to Vanderbilt was his fault, but that's a different conversation. But he was asked about whether Auburn would consider a quarterback change moving forward. And he says, quote, Peyton Thorne has played pretty solid, but at the same time, you start thinking big picture. That's a tough thing for a coach. He says, quote, we're debating all of this week, end quote.
It's frustrating on so many levels because I personally understand where he's at, because you feel like he lost you a couple games earlier in the season. The past couple games, he hasn't necessarily lost you. He hasn't won you the game either, but he hasn't lost it.
Peyton,
yes. So then it goes back to the point of, well, do you make that quarterback change because of the quote, it gives you the best chance to win? Do we have somebody on the roster that can go out and win you a football game? Because you talked about it, a couple throws against Vanderbilt, if he hits Luke Deal over the middle of the field, or if the ball to Rivaldo Fairweather is a little bit earlier and he has time to turn his head around and look where the defender is before it gets jarred loose. Plays like that can be difference makers in the game. Can somebody else on this roster go out and win you a football game? I think that's such a tough line to draw, because I talked about the stats with Thorne last week before the Vanderbilt game. And I asked you, what do you think his stat line looks like? And I read it out, you didn't believe it. There were plenty of texters that said, wow, okay, that kind of changes the thoughts on everything.
Yeah.
And again, he did it again last week, didn't throw an interception. I believe it was 20 of 29. Didn't go out and lose you the game. That being said, you also understand now you're at the point of he's not going to be here next year. So is it time now that you have to win out, and you don't love your chances for that either, to turn the page? You're playing guys that are freshmen on the defensive side of the ball. You have all of the freshman talent on the offensive side of the ball. Is it time to turn the page and go to a newer talent, whether that be Hank Brown or even Walker White now, I believe, is in that conversation. He got a lot of praise about how he's looked. The entire time, his thing was, we're going to redshirt him, and now we're at the point where if you play three games, you can still be redshirted, which is a very big thing to remember, to where if Walker White started these next three games, he can come back out as a redshirt freshman. But getting him the reps, but the biggest thing was saying that the timing just wasn't there, that he looked great on 7-on-7s, but it was still a little bit fast for him on the 11s. Do you go with Walker? Do you go with Hank? As much as it sucks to say, you feel like Holden is kind of out of the picture,
yeah,
which is frustrating for him, I mean, you have to kind of feel for everything that he's gone through.
Well, I said at the beginning of the year, I was surprised he was still here, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I was surprised that he hung around, especially in this day and age. And I don't know him personally, so I'm not saying, oh, I'm surprised he's a flight risk. I don't know that. I'm not saying that at all. And he's obviously not. He stuck it out and battled and obviously didn't win, but... yeah, that seems to be where everybody's going with this quote and this conversation is, okay, if you do move on from Peyton Thorne, which those conversations are being had, and the growing feeling is that you probably should, because what good does it do you, as you were saying, what good does it do you to keep playing Peyton Thorne when the season is basically over?
Three scrimmage games to see what you like and don't like about your team for next year.
Yeah, and you got to figure some things out and figure out who you want on this team and who you're going to sit down at the end and say, look, we appreciate your time, but it's time to move on type of thing. I mean, that's where Auburn football is right now, is figuring out who on the team, obviously not graduating people, but people who and players who can hang on this team, who give you the best chances to win, who make your team better, and which ones you've just got to say, all right, it's time, we got to get them out of here and move on. Whether that's a good goodbye or a bad goodbye, whatever. But the main one is the quarterback spot, because he ain't coming back next year in Peyton Thorne. And so, yeah, it seems to be most of it is it Walker White or is it Hank Brown? And I'll just go ahead and give you my answer. I think it should be Hank Brown. I think it should be Hank Brown because I don't think he got a fair shake. I think a bad half against Arkansas is not enough to pull the kid and never let him see the field again.
It's really the only true sample size that they have of him.
I mean, New Mexico, I'm not counting that. His first half against Arkansas was bad. Yes, it was bad. But that is the, I mean, I know you have you have one chance to make a good first impression. I get it. I do. I totally understand. But you're going to say that he's not good enough and he's not worthy because he had one bad half of football, where we've clearly seen that the offensive system that we're trying to run is, words I can't say on radio, is that bad? I mean, it's crap is what it is. And so you're telling me, and I don't know if Hank Brown's the answer or if he's a world beater. I don't know. But you're judging him, and Hugh Freeze and the staff judged him off of a half of football, over 30 minutes of game time, and they said, nope, that's all we needed to see. You're done, and you're not going to see the field again? So I think it should be Hank Brown because he's at least played legitimate football at this level for a small amount of time. So that's where I stand. If you make a change, I think it should be Hank Brown.
Playing devil's advocate, and I don't disagree with you, is Hank Brown in true position to be the starting quarterback next year?
Is anybody on this roster in position to be the starter next year?
I think that where you look right now, I think people are almost talking about it being Deuce Knight, Walker White, or a transfer quarterback that you fully expect Auburn to bring in at some level to be a 3 or 4 quarterback competition. If Hank Brown is truly in the discussion for it, then I think you give him the chance. But if you're putting it onto the hands of Walker White and you're expecting him to be able to compete for that top spot next year, then I think you possibly look ahead at Hank Brown. At Walker White.
But again, how could you answer the question, is Hank Brown good enough to be the starter next year? We don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. Yeah. I think he's good enough to be given a shot. I think he should still be given a shot because, let's be honest, we're about to get to the phone lines here. Does anybody really think that we had a quarterback battle this offseason? We were told there was. We were told that Hank Brown and Walker White were going to challenge Peyton Thorne, and maybe they did, and maybe Peyton really was this Superman in practice that we heard about.
But, I mean, there was offense taken when we even asked about a second quarterback.
Yeah, literally. And so, how fair of a shot did the other guys truly get? Since Hugh Freeze didn't go get a quarterback in the portal, Peyton Thorne was the guy he put his job on the line for.
He said, you know what? I got king high. I'm going all in.
Literally. And he didn't push in $1 million, though, did he? No, he didn't. He kept that in his pocket and went home and went back to the hotel room. And that leads me to really start having concerns with the decision-making inside of Auburn football. And so while that's a legitimate question that you ask, is Hank Brown good enough to be the starter next year? Is Walker White good enough to be the starter next year? We don't know. We don't know the answer to that question. Is Deuce Knight good enough to be the starter next year? We don't know. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. I believe we have Trap is on the phone. Is that right?
That's right.
What's up, man? What's on your mind?
Hey, you guys had a guy call in a couple days ago, and you may remember him. He was just like, it's time for Hugh Freeze to go. You know, no matter what, you know, he's had his chance. And hey, I was on fire when Gus first left. When we fired him, man, I was all about Hugh Freeze. I thought we should have hired him to begin with. But I can tell you, I am so disappointed in him right now. I can barely watch him on the sideline. And I've been an Auburn fan my entire life. And it hurts me to just look at him the way he gets so frustrated, and it's like he has no answer.
Yeah, that's been my concern for quite some time. Is most of the time, man, he doesn't even have a response. He just stands there and stares off into space because he doesn't have the answer.
He does. He stands there, and you can literally predict what's going to happen. Like the game before the Vanderbilt game, the Kentucky game, when Peyton Thorne threw that interception before halftime. I can't remember if he threw an interception or took a sack, but I told my buddy, I said, I guarantee you we're not going to get points at the end of the second half. You can just literally, you can feel it coming, you know, and that's a bad feeling. I really do, and I honestly hate to say this, but I honestly think it's time to go too.
Man. All right. Hey, we appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show, my man, and listening as well. 334-321-1390.
I don't believe, or I don't quite remember who exactly it was. Was it Jones
I think it was Jones
that
called in.
He talked about
he
feels
started.
Like he's in the 1%, and we were both talking about it, saying, I think there's a much bigger population than 1% that feel that way, and we obviously have another one that's kind of in the same boat. Who thought we'd be here? It's something that, you know, you didn't necessarily expect, but you took on the chin last year. But it just comically goes back to, I mean, there were legitimate discussions of 8, 9. We were having to pump the brakes on people a little bit, saying 10 wins could possibly happen. And now you're at the point where it was week 8. And you already could not hit your over-under win total.
Which we laughed about in the preseason. We were like, 7.5? Where in the heck did they come up with
seven
that
and
number?
A half should be the minimum, or 8 should be the minimum.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many factors to it. But, yeah, to his point on the phone, I mean, there are a lot of people that way that have moved on. They've given up in less than 2 years again of a new head coach.
And I think one of the biggest things that he talked about, it's something that we talk about every single time where something negative happens. All right, let's go to camera 3, who's sitting on Hugh Freeze the whole time. What is it? Off to the side, about 15 yards away from everybody else, arms are crossed in a blank stare.
And just looking off. And he said it, doesn't have the answers.
And it doesn't. And we talked about this going back to hour 1 when I thought that mentally that Georgia won the game against Alabama just because of how well that second half was. You go back and watch that game coming back from commercial breaks or even during the middle of the game, it's showing Kirby Smart on the sideline. He's in the defensive tent yelling, pointing, trying to instruct guys. I haven't seen that all year.
The only time Hugh Freeze has done that to get back to quarterbacks
is when he's
Peyton
yelled
Thorne.
At Peyton Thorne for making a wrong read. And
even when he made a good play, when he would make a good play, he would rip him on the sidelines because it wasn't the play that Hugh Freeze wanted him to make. But he'd throw a pick. What would he do? Watch him walk by. Let him sit down. Wouldn't even address him. Wouldn't even talk to him. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. So we'll take a break and continue this conversation. So with the quote from Hugh Freeze today that Auburn might possibly, they're considering making a change at quarterback. Should they? And if so, who should it be?
And guess who has no knowledge of that? Peyton Thorne. He said on the interview with Next Round, said that he hadn't heard anything about them working younger guys in.
Well, that would have been yesterday. I think that interview was yesterday.
Good call. You're right.
Yeah. So, a little.
But still, the fact that.
Even so, yeah.
12 hours later, conversations are made, and he's sitting there, I had no idea.
Well, I mean, you can't be surprised, brother. You can't be shocked. I don't know what to tell you, man. Win your games.
You're not shocked, but then again, it shows the fact of where is the communication or where is the knowledge? Because it's not like you haven't practiced since Saturday.
Who knows? Bye week. Who knows what they do over there? I don't know.
Do they know?
Does anybody know? 334-321-1390. We'll take a break, come back, and continue this after the break.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
We continue on here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. That's funny. I'm not saying what it is, but that's funny.
No,
we're good. We're going to talk Auburn basketball in just a few minutes, and there is some news that we need to get to in terms of Auburn basketball, not about the team, but about the broadcast crew, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. But we were talking Auburn football and the quote that Freeze had today, that they are considering all options and possibly changing of the guard at the quarterback spot. And, you know, you look through the schedule this year and you just take a little trip, right? You get in the car and you just start driving down the road. And the season starts and everybody, for the most part, there were some that didn't like Peyton after last year and wanted anybody else. And that's fine. I totally get it. My dad was one of those. My dad was like, man, I know who he is. I don't trust him. I said, I saw what he did a year ago. I don't see him getting any better. I don't believe. And I said, no. I said he's gotten better. I drank the Kool-Aid. I'll be honest. I said, he's going to be better. The system's better. The communication's better. The tools are better. And I feel most people were in the same boat as I was. Hey, let's give the guy a chance.
You feel like you didn't even necessarily drink the Kool-Aid. The program said, here, open your mouth. I'm pouring this down.
Yeah,
Here's
a funnel. Open up. And they just let it rip.
And then all of a sudden you had no choice. Okay, well, there's all the confidence. We're gonna sit back. We'll take the back seat. We won't be the helper in the car in the passenger seat trying to help you drive.
Do you think they gave him all the tools he needed to be successful?
If they did, they probably should have told us that.
True. So the season is about to begin, and I think most Auburn fans were in the same boat of, okay, last year was not good. He must be better. Auburn seemingly could be a good quarterback position away from having a good season. We talked about B-level quarterbacking. So everybody was saying, all right, let's give the guy a chance. And you jump out in the first game of the year. Yes, it's Alabama A&M, but still, you drop 73 points. First couple plays, I mean, you're throwing deep balls. Guys are open. Peyton Thorne's hitting guys downfield. I mean, we were like, okay, this is cool. This is awesome. Maybe this is actually going to work.
Everybody started spamming the we're back button.
Yeah.
We're back. We're back. We're back.
Right. And then California happened. And we were like, oh my God, what just happened? That was horrific. That was a disaster. That was terrible. And then New Mexico. And going into that week, it was, man, what in the world do we do? And you had Hank Brown in there, who, all things considered in bad weather, played pretty well. Played good enough. All right, cool. Hank's the answer. We're moving on with him. And you played him for a half of football against Arkansas, where he had 3 interceptions and played terrible. And you pulled him, and he hadn't touched the field since. And then it's just been the same thing and the same thing and the same thing. But then he cleaned the turnovers up, right? Peyton Thorne did. Cleaned up the turnovers. Still can't hit people when they're open. Receivers apparently can't run the correct routes. Can't catch the ball. But then the last couple of games, it's really hard to look at Peyton Thorne's stat line and say he's the reason that Auburn lost. But it's just been such a roller coaster of events here, man, with the quarterback position and this Auburn football team. And we'd love to get some more thoughts on it. 334-321-1390. We'll do that now. You're on the line. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Dak, man. What? How you doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Yeah, just enjoying listening to y'all talk, and there's so many questions at the quarterback position. Like you just said, Peyton Thorne has cleaned up his act. Yes, he's missed some throws here and there, but I think, number one, you go back to the Cal game. I think the coaches as well as the team really didn't expect Cal to be as good defensively as they were. And when we got hit in the stomach and then in the chin throughout that game, it was hard for her to bounce back from that. Ever since then, it's been something different every game.
You're right.
And it's not just been one thing. And it reminds me of a young football team that no matter what you do, you just can't win. And that old saying Coach Dye used to say about for every freshman you play, and I know this is a different time, but for every freshman you can count it as a loss. But when you're playing so many freshmen at one time, it's tough.
It is.
It is tough. But now, this is what I don't understand. And I have heard, and this is straight from coach's mouth, that we do have guys that don't know their plays and runs the wrong routes a lot. Okay? But what I don't understand is why we're not throwing the ball deeper more per game.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you have to tell the guy, look, we're fixing to run a rail route, 60, straight down the field, and we got three guys that can run like we do, there is no excuse in completing two or three deep balls a game.
I agree. And I think that comes down to the game plan, does it not, Dak, of just making it overcomplicated?
Absolutely. And look, Coach Sullivan used to have every week in his plan, we're throwing five deep balls. He had it written down. He's going to throw five deep balls a game, and we're trying to hit three out of five. If we hit three out of five, that is fantastic.
Sure.
And I don't see us throwing but one or two at the most a game.
And they're not getting completed most of the time.
That's right. And I personally think that Simmons is not getting the ball enough.
I agree with that.
He needs to be touching the ball 8 to 10 times a game.
He may be the best athlete on the offensive side of the football other than Jarquez Hunter right now.
Absolutely. And he makes things happen when he gets the ball in his hands. And I would create every situation possible to get him the ball. So, you know, it's complicated. There's not no one answer. I believe Hank Brown is done. I believe the freshman kicker is done. They might as well transfer because they are done. However, I do believe that you have to give Walker White the chance. Since right now he will not burn a red shirt, no matter how much he plays from here on out, correct?
Correct.
Correct, yeah.
You have to find out what he's made out of, especially with the new freshman quarterback coming in next year. You have to know, am I going to have to go out and pay big bucks for somebody, or do I have a legitimate race between the guy coming in next year and Walker White? That's what you got to find out, and you've got the best game coming up to find that out. And let him play these next two or three games, because you have to know before that first year next year. You have to know that.
Yep. And I don't think this staff can afford another swing and miss on the quarterback room on anybody, whether it's on the team,
That's right. Transfer portal,
or in the recruiting rankings. They can't afford another miss.
That's right. If I give Walker White the chance, and if he fails like Hank failed, then you know – even though you got this freshman coming in, you have to go get somebody that's a junior or a senior to get you through 1 year so he can be there to help this freshman quarterback. You got to. There is no questions about that.
I agree. Dak, appreciate the call as always, brother. Great to hear from you. Always appreciate you listening and supporting the show. Your thoughts on that quickly before we get to break.
I think he's exactly right. I mean, that's kind of what we were talking about. That was the biggest reason I brought up Walker White's name again. Probably the biggest reason, because you're not burning a red shirt, but B, so that way you see him on the field. So that way the quarterback discussion next year is not, okay, somebody that's played one half of football, a red shirt freshman, a true freshman that haven't seen the football field, and possibly a transfer quarterback, to where you're hoping that one of those guys pan out. And again, I agree with with what you're saying with Hank Brown, you know, not getting enough time. The one half is everything that you're judging him on. But I feel like Walker has to get a chance. Worst case scenario, it turns out as poorly as you thought, and you realize that, okay, he is not ready. But you can't be ready unless you get live snaps. And, again, when Dak was calling, I was looking at this stat. You talk about the deep ball. Cam Coleman has 15 receptions on the year. Has 15 receptions. The most he's caught in a game was 4 against Kentucky when he had 4 for 24 yards.
What's Ryan Williams have? Just out of curiosity. I know you don't know that off the top of your head, but...
No, we'll look.
I'm going to guess he has... God, they've played, what, 9 games so far? I mean, he's got to have 40-plus receptions by now.
Him or the Ohio State freshman receiver Jeremiah Smith
Jeremiah Smith, I mean
he gets 15 targets a game.
Yeah, well, look, all right, we've blown way past the break, and I bumped the music out because Dak called in, and I wanted to get him in. What do you got on Williams? I'll get Smith at Ohio State really quick.
Ryan Williams leads the Alabama team in receptions with 35.
I said 40.
For 702 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Golly. Say that again. Say that stat line again for Ryan Williams.
35 receptions, 702 yards, 84 is his longest touchdown, and he has 7 touchdowns on the year.
How old is he again?
24.
Yeah, he's been playing quite some time. I mean, they just had so long to get him in and get him seasoned, you know.
Jeremiah Smith for Ohio State has 39 receptions for 678 yards and 8 touchdowns.
They both have nearly 40 receptions.
And that's not including targets.
That's catches.
That is how many times he has come down, or they have come down with the football.
That's unbelievable.
The most times that Cam Coleman has caught the football is 4 times against Kentucky.
That's enough to make a grown man cry. 334-321-1390. Auburn basketball news and talking about the season opener when we come back.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got about 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. In the studio with me is Christian Griffin filling in since no Darryl Dapperts today. He will be back with us next Wednesday for Double D Wednesdays. And we're going to talk Auburn basketball as the Tigers open up the season against Vermont coming up inside of Neville Arena at 7 o'clock tonight. You can catch the radio broadcast over on our sister station, Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. But some news that we need to talk about for just a second. It is surrounding Auburn basketball, but not the team in particular. It's about the broadcast crew on the Auburn Sports Network with the guys that you've been hearing for quite some time on the Auburn Sports Network. And this man is a legend and has been a part of the men's basketball broadcast for a long, long time and has brought so much comedic and intellectual entertainment to that broadcast with multiple play-by-play guys for years and years and years. And, of course, during his days as a coach was legendary as well. This is breaking news from Auburn Athletics. It says, quote, legendary Auburn men's basketball coach Sonny Smith is retiring from his duties as radio analyst for the Auburn Sports Network for the men's basketball game. Smith has been providing commentary for Auburn men's basketball on the Auburn Sports Network since 2012. Again, Sonny Smith is retiring as the color analyst for Auburn men's basketball. And I'll say this, for me personally, right, I've mentioned this a couple of times. Growing up in Ohio, I was unable to watch a lot of Auburn basketball games if they weren't on a weekend because, and growing up, right, I was a young kid, had to be in bed, getting ready, go to school the next day, things like that. And you know, I listened to the radio broadcast back when it was Rod, and of course now with Andy, and Sonny Smith did a phenomenal job, and he was so awesome. He was funny, and I said it, he was funny and he was smart, and he brought those two things and did both of them so well and was just real. I think that's what I loved most about him, Christian, was he was just so real on the air. He told you exactly what he was thinking straight from the coach's mouth, and it's going to be different not having him on the broadcast as Sonny Smith retires.
It definitely will. Us both being broadcasters, we understand how difficult it is to be halfway decent on air. For us, again, I know you're just taking the call. For us being broadcasters, that's difficult to be good at what you do. And when somebody like him that makes everybody's job easier.
It also just makes everybody better.
And makes everybody better. It's, that's somebody that I believe you said since 2012 he's been a part.
Yep.
And so many games, so many calls, and you said it perfectly. He'll say exactly what he wants to say, but it comes with so much love and so much legitimacy just because of the name and everything that he did for Auburn.
My favorite parts of him on the air, and we'd love to hear your thoughts and your best Sonny Smith stories and Sonny Smith quotes during his time on the Auburn Sports Network, 334-321-1390. I just love because he was a fan. At the end of the day, he was just a fan at heart, and he was an Auburn man, and Auburn would start going on those big runs, and he'd just start woo-hooing, and he'd start cheering, and he was just so much fun in the background. Whoever was calling the games, he was just always such a good addition. And I remember just several times, he made the moment so much better, and he was just truly a fan of Auburn men's basketball. So, again, Sonny Smith retiring from Auburn men's basketball as the color analyst on the Auburn Sports Network. And here's his quote that we're going to get to the phone lines from Sonny Smith. He says, quote, "After years courtside as both the coach and as a broadcaster, it is time to pass the mic and reflect." He goes on to say, "That front row seat was more than a job. It was a love for the game. As the color commentator, I had the privilege of bringing the game to life, going beyond the stats and scores by adding a little extra color to the game." He's going to be honored, and that's an end quote. He's going to be honored for his contributions prior to the Auburn men's game on December 8th at Neville Arena against Richmond. So that's going to be a really, really nice ceremony for him. And Randall Dickey, who has filled in at times for Sonny Smith over the past couple of years, he will be taking over as full-time color commentator on the Auburn Sports Network.
I just found something. I looked up the best Sonny Smith quotes of all time. There is a Twitter or X account.
You've never seen this?
Funny Sonny Smith?
It's hilarious.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's awesome.
I have never seen it, but you can scroll phenomenal. And there's just every single game. There is some sort of quote that he has, and it is
yeah, they have like 5,000 followers or something like that.
But the one that I saw, the first one that I clicked on, it was him saying, "How many fouls on Sears? If he fouls out, I'm going to have a serious drink tonight." He never fouls out. That's fantastic. Whoever runs that is very, very solid and speaks to exactly what we're talking about of how real he is. He provides comedic relief when it's needed, but with him being a coach, he understands the game so, so well and will definitely be missed on the side of Auburn Radio.
Man, yeah, I'm going through this account again. I've followed it for years, and it's so funny because it's just his best quotes over time. And he says, "I was going to say they were good officials, but I'm going to wait for this review to say so."
So good.
334-321-1390. Andy, you're on the line. What's up?
Hey, you had me worried. You kept going on about it, and I'm like, "Oh, tell me he didn't pass or retire." There's times we'd watch the game at home and my wife couldn't find me, and I'd be out in the car listening to the radio just because it was so much better. Listen, you're young, Jacob. One thing I can pass on to you is if you like anything, enjoy it, because everything good goes away. I'm sure you've experienced some of that, but
yeah, and I mean, you know, good broadcasters, their time comes, whether it's play-by-play or color guys or whatever, good players and good coaches. So, yeah, I get it.
Well, last year I went to go find him and give him a hug, and I couldn't believe how frail he was. So I'm glad he stuck it out as long as he did, because that really stinks. But, I mean, time comes. But
yeah,
he was awesome. I'm glad you guys are giving him his props that he deserved, because he he was more fun to listen to than watch the game sometimes.
Absolutely. Yep.
We'll be missed. Another War Eagle great.
Yep. Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. 334-321-1390. Would love to get anybody's favorite Sonny Smith memories. And again, he has retired from the Auburn Sports Network, the radio booth, as a color commentator on the Auburn men's basketball games. Quote, when Alabama comes to town, they bring a foul train with them. Man, these are so funny,
man. He can say what he wants, and they're not lies either.
I know. Man, he would get so frustrated sometimes, and rightfully so.
We can't throw it in the ocean right now, but we will.
The only thing common in this game is standing on the sidelines. What? Oh, man. Oh, gosh. It's just, he was just so good, man. We could sit here and read these. We could read these for hours. Man.
That right there will make you want to go to the grocery store and buy a big old steak.
What? Oh.
I'm refereeing real good tonight. I haven't missed a call. I can't say that for the two buddies out there, though.
Oh,
fantastic work,
Sonny. You're a legend. Oh, you're a legend. And I know the drive has had him on quite a bit. And again, we wish him the best in his full on retirement. Now, you're a better referee than most guys. I like your call. So, you will not be hearing him anymore on the broadcast. He has retired. And again, Randall Dickey is taking over. All right. One more. And they'll got to move on.
They called KD Johnson out on an illegal block downfield. We're playing football out there.
Oh, Sonny. Yep. He will be missed on the broadcast for sure. Again, if you missed the news, Sonny Smith is retiring from Auburn from the broadcast on Auburn men's basketball. Randall Dickey will be taking over on the Auburn Sports Network. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and give our thoughts on Auburn and Vermont coming up tonight. Season opener for Auburn inside of Neville Arena. We'll wrap up the show and talk about that when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you all being with us here on ESPN 106.7. Been a great show today. We're wrapping it up with a little Auburn basketball conversation as the Tigers start the regular season tonight. That's right. College basketball is underway, and Auburn will get their season started tonight inside of Neville Arena as Vermont comes to town. Auburn favored between 16 and 18, depending on where you look. And seems like Auburn fans may be a little nervous about this Vermont team, but I think Auburn is, well, I know Auburn's definitely the more talented team. And Christian, I'm excited to see this team. I'll be honest, I didn't get a chance to go to the exhibition game last Friday. I got to watch it and see some of the highlights, I guess, but didn't get a chance to be there. So this will be my first time seeing Auburn this season. And man, just the depth on this team is something we've talked about time and time again. And the only concern I have this season is, can Auburn spread the minutes out properly? And how will they do so? And how long will it take them to figure out who they are and what they're best at?
That, spreading out the minutes and having everybody buy into their specific role. Which
hasn't been a problem for the most part.
It hasn't, and that's why you feel like that's a very much a discussion with Bruce and the guys before they transfer to Auburn. You know that you're not going to be a guy that goes out and plays 32, 35 minutes a game. You're going to be out there 18, 22, 24, but it's going to be 100% speed at the entire time for those 3 minutes. You'll take a two-minute breather and get back in there and have an immediate impact once again. So I think that's one of the biggest things. And second, again, we talked about it, how difficult it could possibly be for this team to gel in their role so early on because you have so many guys that you can rely on, but you're playing such talented teams so early on that it might be, this guy has to play with this group a little bit more because we need three or four buckets and he's the guy right now that you can trust with the hot hand behind the arc or to drive into the paint and go get a bucket. Or maybe it's I mean, a high scoring or a defensive battle, and you need all five guys to play lockdown on their top guys. So many different roles, so many different key pieces. Auburn has them all. It just has to be figured out how to plug and place all in the right time and the right place.
Other than Jahni Broome, who is the biggest key to Auburn's success this season on the roster? Other than Jahni Broome, who is the biggest key to Auburn's success on the floor this season?
I feel like you could say Denver Jones. The three-point shooting, which he said that there's other guys that could possibly be better. Bruce Pearl talked about it halfway through last year of how talented this kid is and how we've had to find more ways to get him the basketball, and you saw the way that he took off in the second half and became, I mean, the leader of the team. The other name that stood out in a weird way was Dylan Cardwell, and that's especially because of how Auburn could play with Jahni Broome at the four and Cardwell at the five. That could be a really mismatched offense or team for Auburn in a good way, but also could be in a negative way as well because of foul trouble and being able to rotate those guys, because it used to be, you know, Jahni would come out, Dylan would come in. If you have both of those guys on the floor at the same time, you have to be able to keep them out of foul trouble. So that could be a really, really big piece as well.
Yeah, Denver's been my answer for quite some time, especially now that he's going to be playing point guard for most of the time, where Bruce Pearl's quote of, yeah, as you were saying, they tried to get him the basketball more and more and more last year, and he said, we needed to find ways to get the basketball into our quarterback's hands. Well, now we've made him the quarterback. So we've...
Can there be a discussion about that with, like, the other team that actually has a quarterback?
Yeah, Denver. Can you play quarterback, sir? I just think he's that good, man. I think he's that skilled. I think he's that smart. I think he's that mature. I think he will command this Auburn team, and when they're in trouble, I believe he will be the man they turn to. I believe he will be the one that can guide them out of darkness when they go up against Houston and Duke and Purdue and Ohio State and all these big-name teams. And then in SEC play, when you're in the midst of a two- or three-game road stretch and it's, you know, middle of February and you just want to lay down and sleep, right? You just, like, you're like, man, this is terrible. Like, we're getting
feels like
beat.
The dog days of winter.
Yeah.
Almost.
And you need somebody on the road on a Tuesday night. I think they look to Denver Jones, and I think he can lead them. Whether that's a bucket, whether it's an assist, whether it's a steal, whatever the case may be, I just feel that he's going to be that guy. But I'll give you another answer here on who I think could be a difference maker this season for Auburn. And I go back and forth, and I really try. It's one of the freshmen, and I don't know which one it's going to be. Is it going to be Howard, or is it going to be Pettiford? I don't think they're going to play significant minutes, but I think the energy they're going to bring and the athleticism and the wow factor that they bring is going to be a lot of fun. Maybe not in terms of making a difference for Auburn in terms of winning a championship, but those guys are going to be a lot of fun.
Well, you talk about it. They both bring in such different games. You want to talk about somebody that can absolutely electrify an entire arena, it would be Jakai Howard on a fast break or sitting in the corner. He gets a pass, two dribbles along the baseline, goes up and yams over somebody. I mean, that would be something where if Auburn's down four with 6 minutes left in the second half, he dunks on somebody, the entire crowd just goes absolutely crazy. Pettiford brings a little bit different game, brings a little bit more finesse, and he's somebody that you have to rely on to be able to work his way downhill. He's such a good downhill basketball player to where if he can get into the paint, drive and dish, kick it out to so many of the open the open shooters that Auburn has, somebody that you would love to see take a step from their high school year to the freshman year, and somebody that, again, you can continue to rely on through the next year and so on.
Hot take on the season before we go. Auburn gets the season started. Oh, got to make it quick. Hot take on the year. What is it? For Auburn, you have one?
Oh man, threw me on the spot right there.
I don't have one, but I'd have seen if you did. Out of Houston, Iowa State, Duke, Ohio State, and Purdue, those five games plus two more possibly in that tournament, how many does Auburn win?
Three.
Okay, I think Auburn wins four out of seven.
Sure.
Sure. Auburn opens up tonight with Vermont.
The unanswerable question right there.
Yeah, Auburn opens with Vermont tonight, 7 o'clock in Neville Arena, or you can listen to it on Wings 94.3, wingsfm.com, and the Radio Alabama app. I'm back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.